Welcome to Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for, with me, life and career coach Brooke Kretz. Want to know the scariest part about leaving your job? The unknowing of what's next. But what if it were possible to leave the job you hate and pursue something that feeds your soul while still meeting your financial goals? On Designing Purpose, I will guide you step by step to leave jobs that no longer serve you and connect to the career and life you were meant for. Join in for powerful stories, examples, and guidance to go from feeling stuck in the unknowing to confidently transitioning to your next career. The Designing Purpose Show starts now. So let's imagine two friends, Amir and Gabriel. They both just graduated from university and are excited and brimming with ideas about the future. The night after graduation, they are sitting around talking about what they want to do next and how they want to impact the world. When Amir says, "I would just love to have my own clothing line, you know? I see so many ways to use my artistry and try new and cool designs. I could even set up my own online shop and build my brand." "Yes, dude, you'd be so good at that," Gabriel agrees. "Your stuff is already so baller. You'd have orders in no time." "You know, I really want to teach kids how to have critical thinking skills and to research and advocate for themselves. But I'm not sure I want to do it in the traditional school system, you know? Like, how cool would it be to have my own little education model and work with kids in an extracurricular way? Be able to design my own modules, but still work directly with students and meet them where they're at." "Yes, totally," Amir chimes in. "You have so many innovative ideas that might never see the light of day in a school. How cool would it be if you could do your thing without being pressured to teach the textbook?" "Exactly. You know, people are always talking about doing things, but they're almost never following through. Let's make a pact right now that we will actually start these things, and in 1 year's time, meet right back at this spot to celebrate our success." "Dude," Amir says, getting up, extending his hand to make it official, "you've got a deal." The first 3 months. One night, a few weeks after they spoke, Amir gets a giant piece of butcher paper and starts sketching out some ideas for t-shirts and other graphic images he would like to put on apparel. He plays around for a while, finding inspiration online and in different things that he likes. After a while, though, he realizes there's not really a cohesive theme throughout his designs. "My first collection has to absolutely blow people away," he thinks. "I want it to have teasers, a cool press release, and all kinds of innovative and edgy branding so that the whole thing sells out in one night. I need to work harder and find how it all connects." He ends up scrapping everything that he sketched and, feeling tired from working all evening, says, "Next week I'll start working on it again." Meanwhile, Gabriel sits in front of his computer and is thinking about his vision for his courses, which modules he would want to include, and which students he would want to work with. Although he has a few solid ideas, it all starts to suddenly feel very overwhelming. "Was all this a bad idea?" he thinks. "Do I even know what I'm actually doing?" And then, no. "This is exactly what happens to people who don't finish what they started. And Amir and I made a pact that we would see this through. But I'm not going to figure this out this way. I need help." Sitting there, watching the cursor pulse on his screen, he thinks, "What if I created a little mock school with some of my friends from university? I could invite 2 to 3 guys I used to have class with and test some of my rough ideas out with them for their feedback." He pitches the idea to his friends and they instantly accept. Gabriel's mock school is born, and he meets with them for a couple of hours each Thursday evening to try out different modules, such as how to research different sides of a problem before coming to conclusions, and how to engage with people who have different viewpoints from yours. His friends give him feedback to make the modules even more engaging and dynamic, and even offer him new ideas he had never thought of that he could experiment teaching. One night, one of his friends says, "You know, my brother is part of this mentorship program at his high school for middle schoolers. They're always looking for guest speakers. Why don't you go talk to them and try out some of this with them?" Gabriel is thrilled by this idea. "Yes, I would love that. Let's set it up ASAP." Even though it still feels a little rocky, Gabriel feels more confident after trying out and iterating his stuff with people he trusts. He goes to speak with the high school and middle school students for a few weeks before one of them says, "Hey, you should talk to the principal about introducing this as an elective course. I'm sure people would love it." "You know what?" Gabriel says, "I absolutely will." The next 3 months, Gabriel is set up for a meeting with the principal, and he is beyond thrilled. He comes prepared with 3 lesson plans he had refined after working with the middle and high school students and his vision of how he could engage with them. The principal listens to his ideas and says, "Well, this is all well and good, but if it's going to be taught in the school, even as an elective, we would still need school board approval of the curriculum to make sure it stays in line with what we teach here." Gabriel's heart falls. This is exactly what he wanted to avoid and why he didn't go the traditional teacher route. Plus, the principal adds, "We would need to talk it over with the parents and make sure they approve of the content and how it's taught." "Okay," Gabriel thinks, "I think I could do that. But even if that works out, we would probably only offer you 1 section of kids a week, and that would put you on an hourly wage. So you're looking at maybe $23, $24 an hour for the week." "What?" Gabriel's mind screams. "All of that work for next to nothing? If this is the only interest he has, how can he expect to make it viable? The idea of getting the school board and the parents on board with a class that doesn't really have tangible outcomes for next to no money feels nearly impossible. "Guess I'll think about it," Gabriel says, feeling dejected and back to square one with the venture. Meanwhile, Amir has decided to immerse himself in his day job, hanging out at home and seeing friends. He does think about the clothing line and even tells people that he is going to do it, but that he just has to wait for the moment when it's perfect. He has an idea for a really cool, detailed fake fur vest, but has no idea where to source the materials for it that would be high quality enough for his vision, nor the skills to actually sew the vest. He decides that his next step then is to learn how to sew. So he enrolls in a free online course where he watches the first 2 videos, but then gets so confused by the terminology and using the sewing machine that he turns them off. "This is definitely harder than I thought," he thinks. "But the more time I take to really plan and strategize it, the better it will be." The next 3 months, Gabriel is starting to feel dejected and even skips a couple of weeks of lessons with the high school and middle schoolers. 1 week, he gets a DM from one of the middle school students asking where he's been. Lying about being sick, the student then says, "Why don't you just video yourself doing the lessons and we can do them on our own later?" "That's not really how my lessons work. The whole point is that they are interactive, not just watching a video," Gabriel thinks. But just then, a light bulb goes off. "What if I put one on YouTube and set up a community chat to respond to the questions and give their takes on certain topics?" Before he can think too much about it, he shoots a quick 10-minute video on a topic in his living room, uploads it, and shares the link with the students. They love the idea and enjoy being able to go back to it and start sharing it with their friends. Soon, students all over the country are asking for him to do videos on new topics or to explain something in a different way. Viewership slowly starts growing as more people spread the word, and soon Gabriel is putting up 3 new videos a week. The more he posts and the more feedback he receives, the more ideas he gets. "What if I made a free ebook people could download to help orient them to these topics? Or what if I could integrate these lessons into other classes students are currently engaged in, such as critical thinking using math or critical thinking using history, and market these as their own modules? the ideas are flowing, and even though he still doesn't see a way to make this financially viable, he continues going with it. Meanwhile, Amir starts thinking about potentially doing a faux leather line of jackets, but again gets overwhelmed about sourcing materials and how he would actually construct them. He even tried setting up a Wix website so that he could be ready to sell once they were finished, but again, it felt too overwhelming, and he wasn't even sure what to write or how to structure it. He went back to his t-shirts and thought about just printing a couple of designs to start, but would those be cool enough for people to actually buy them? What if he only sold, like, two? That would be so embarrassing after all the thought and energy he's been putting into this. I'll still have time to do this by the end of the year, though, he thinks, so it'll all be good. The last 3 months, Gabriel begins gaining thousands of views on each of his videos and has started providing free and paid downloadable resources directly on his YouTube channel without even having to set up a separate webpage. Certain educational companies contact him about speaking at their organization and offer to pay him a speaker's wage. By doing this, he begins to think about how he might develop online courses with some live components that he could sell in time with the school year so students could seamlessly integrate it into their days. He launches two initial courses based on his videos and speaking engagements and gets 50 students enrolled in 3 months. His educational platform, Independent Thinkers, is not only well-respected with a steady following, Gabriel can now see the vision for it moving forward, has more ideas for the coming months and years, and is seeing the beginnings of a sustainable income from it. Meanwhile, Amir is trying to decide on the colors for the website layout and can't decide on the perfect shade of pale lavender to really capture his target aesthetic. He's still sketching ideas for clothes and potential graphics for t-shirts, but has no idea how to market or sell these. Whatever, he thinks. I'm sure I'll do this one day, but I need more time to really solidify my vision first. A year later, Amir and Gabriel meet again. So man, Gabriel begins, my educational platform is up and running. I've got 15K subscribers to Independent Thinkers and 50 students paying for my courses already. What about you? How's the clothing line going? Oh, wow, dude. That's awesome, he says. I didn't really do the clothing line, he adds sheepishly. Oh, really? Gabriel asks. What happened? I don't know. It all just felt really overwhelming. And every time I sat down to do it, it was like I couldn't see it all, you know? Like I would get all these ideas, but I had no idea how to put them together and make them happen. And then I started worrying. What if I actually do it, but no one likes my stuff? But I mean, clearly you didn't have any of those problems, so. No, actually I really did, Gabriel says. It was so hard for me to see what this was going to be and how I was going to make it a viable venture. All I could imagine was doing it at the school, but I didn't know how to make money from that. What really helped me was just trying things out in these really small ways with people I trusted and learning from there. Did it work out every time? Definitely not. But I learned and pivoted from it, and it led me to where I am now. I never could have thought this up a year ago without trying what I did. But if you want, I could help you do the same with your line. Definitely. Let's start right now. So what happened in these two stories? In Amir's case, he had all of these ideas and kept pressuring himself to weave them together in this perfect and seamless way that would blow everyone away. He also put pressure on himself to do everything alone by learning to sew, designing a website from scratch, and learning how to launch a social media campaign, which compounded those feelings of being overwhelmed. Lastly, he kept trying to imagine what people would want and were looking for without getting feedback on what people liked, what worked for them, or people he could be connected with to make it happen. Because he kept it all inside his head until he had the perfect strategic vision to move forward, what happened at the end of the year? Nothing. He was essentially right where he was a year earlier, only more frustrated and shameful for not making it happen. Now let's look at Gabriel's case. Gabriel also felt immediately overwhelmed at putting it all together and wasn't even sure which platform he could use to make this all financially viable and attract students. But he got it out of his head and began designing small, tangible experiments to get a better sense of what he liked doing, what was working, and how all those unknowns could become clearer. Every step of the way, he was gaining more confidence and ideas from the interactivity and feedback he experienced. He hit roadblocks for sure, and things didn't go as he expected. But because he had done those experiments and built those relationships, he gained breakthrough inspiration to pivot, and Independent Thinkers was officially born. And herein lies how action and progress actually happen once we connect to our purpose. Not through thinking, planning, and painstakingly strategizing to make everything perfect, but through messy, low stakes, and fun experiments that inform what our next career or venture entails. In fact, the only thing standing between you and realizing your purposeful venture 1 year from today is your willingness to experiment, period. The truth is that making our purpose a reality while exciting is also hugely overwhelming and ego-threatening. The doubts begin to mutate and multiply in our head to the point where starting feels next to impossible. And this is why we experiment, so we can quiet voices of doubt, gain confidence and inspiration, learn what we like and don't like and why, inform what we do next moving forward, and build in small, low-cost, low-commitment ways that allow you to remove pressure from yourself and have fun. In today's episode, we will walk through key guidelines for designing experiments to test your own purposeful venture, using Amir and Gabriel as our examples. And as always, I want you to be able to honestly answer one question by the end of the episode. Can I take all of these thoughts, ideas, and doubts out of my head and translate them into small, messy, and fun experiments, as this is the only way to solidify my purposeful venture? Let's go help Amir out with this one. The first step in getting ideas out of your head, no matter how ill-formed they are, is to bring other people in with you to be your testers. Those thinking partners who can experience what you are thinking of offering in a small scale and low stakes way. This can literally be one or two other people. And the key is that they are people who you both trust and have your best interests at heart. Inviting other people into it allows you to physically live out your idea, experience the interactivity and how people respond, gain feedback and new ideas, and get connected with people who could help you make this a reality. What did Gabriel do? Let's look at how Gabriel did this. Although his educational concept was still very vague, Gabriel knew that his goal was to be teaching critical thinking and advocacy skills. Rather than sitting alone trying to dream up what this might be, he took this inkling of an idea and decided to roll out what he had with a few trusted friends. They were also meeting on a weekly basis, so he could keep iterating and trying new things. As we saw, by doing this, Gabriel gained confidence around what he was doing and how he wanted to do it, new ideas and inspiration based on feedback, an understanding of what was working and how he wanted to work, and connections to people who could make this a viable reality. All he needed to make this happen were the beginnings of an idea, a couple of trusted friends, and time. That's it. There were no other flashy startup costs, people he had to hire, or other costly investments needed to design these experiments. And look how much he gained from them in such a short time. What could Amir have done? Amir chose to work alone and largely put it on himself to figure out all the pieces. He knew he loved designing clothes, but he didn't know how to construct them, set up a sales page, or market his line. He felt like once he could crack the perfect strategic vision, everything would fall into place. But the more it stayed in his head, the bigger, scarier, and less feasible it all seemed. From the very beginning, what Amir could have done is gathered a couple of his trusted friends and showed him those designs he cooked up in that very first week. Remember, the ones that seemed too dissimilar to form a cohesive line? By getting immediate feedback, Amir could have taken the pressure off himself, and by talking it through with people, could start to gain confidence in his artistic vision while also gaining new ideas. By doing that, one of his friends could have said, "I really like this graphic one with the quote from Van Gogh. You know, you could create a mini collection of shirts in this style with different quotes you like. You'd only really need three or four, and you already have the one." Looking at this, Amir instantly realizes how cool of a theme that would be, and also so simple. There are tons of artistic quotes you could pull from, and this would be done in 15 minutes flat. "Yeah," another one of his friends adds, "and I have a buddy who owns an apparel collective, and he sells in fairs all over the state. If you send him your designs, he'll print them from his vendor and sell them at his fair next weekend. You'll get full proceeds from whatever he sells." Now Amir is motivated, has a clear, feasible, and fun idea to start his collection, and connections with someone who can not only construct his stuff, but already has a built-in marketing and sales strategy. Amir sells 25 shirts at his first fair, and customers are already asking for more. To keep up with demand, Amir decides to open an Etsy shop to sell what exists, and doesn't even have to code his own website. Because the QR code is linked at the fairs where his stuff is sold, he doesn't need a splashy social media strategy either. Soon he is taking in $1,500 a month from those t-shirts alone, and more ideas are flowing. The second key component of experimentation is following where things lead and being willing to pivot. Oftentimes we try to develop a big, flashy 1, 3, or even 5-year strategy of where we'll be and how we'll do it, only to gain new information a few months in and shift to something different. Experimenting is the fastest, least expensive, and easiest way to discover when and how you might pivot based on information you gather. What did Gabriel do? Initially very excited to be connected to the principal, he quickly learned that teaching an elective course at the high school was not going to be viable. And even though it was disappointing, he discovered it early on, and with very little investment made on his part. The idea to produce the lessons online was not something Gabriel thought he would enjoy, but because he tried it, he discovered how valuable it could be for students and new ways he could connect with them. This also provided him with more feedback, more ideas, and more opportunities to be seen, appreciated, and even paid for what he was doing. If he had spent an entire year developing in-person lessons, it would have been much more difficult and overwhelming to pivot. What could Amir have done? While Amir was selling t-shirts on Etsy, he was contacted by another designer. "Hey, Amir, I love your stuff," he said. "We're looking for new designers to partner with, and we think you'd be a great fit. Do you design anything other than t-shirts? We have a team of sewers ready to go if you have designs to send over. We just take a commission of sales, but sell them through our site. Let me know." Amir thinks of his ideas for the fake fur vests and the leather jackets. He sketches up designs for three of them and sends them over. "How are these?" he asks. "These are perfect," he responds. "In fact, we'll launch these on the landing page of the website." Because he was open and willing to pivot, he became more seen, appreciated, and paid for what he was doing. And suddenly, all the barriers which seemed insurmountable before, sourcing materials, constructing garments, putting together a website, and developing a social media marketing campaign, were completely moot now. And it led Amir to try new things and connect with new people he never could have dreamed of on his own. Every time we see a barrier to living in our purpose, there are always, always, always options. We just have to be willing to play, test, and experiment with our ideas to get there. And that's all part of the fun. Let's go back to the question from the beginning of the episode. Can I take all of the thoughts, ideas, and doubts out of my head and translate them into small, messy, and fun experiments? as this is the only way to solidify my purposeful venture. Can you call on close friends for support? Begin putting your ideas into action, even in small ways, and stay open to who you might connect with or how you might pivot, recognizing that you will never think your way into what's next. And what's next for you could be something truly spectacular if you're willing to go experiment for it. In the coming episodes, we will talk so much more about this, including getting super clear on your vision, target markets, and where you want to position yourself moving forward, building powerful support teams to lean on and ask for help as you finally step into your purpose, and finally, how to evolve with your purpose over time. As always, I'm so excited to be with you on this journey. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for. If you are curious to navigate the unknowns keeping you stuck in your job and confidently discover and pursue the career you were meant for, tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I give straightforward and practical guidance to facilitate your next career move. For more information, visit www.thepurposefulpractice.com.